Thank you. It is so good to have you join with us again at the same time each week. And again, we count it our privilege to be able to spend this time with you and to have you join with us in our Bible study. This week, we want to speak on something, and we'll just bring a message on this, about human wisdom, that is, psychology, versus divine wisdom, the Word of God. We're living in a time when it seems like the answer to everybody's problems is a pill or some kind of medicine or something. Now, we're not talking about heart medicine and high blood pressure or that. We're talking about mental now and mental problems and so forth like that. We're living in a time where society is flooded with violence, hatred, murder, confusion, and many more suicides than we've ever seen. They tell us that 50% of the marriages or more now end up in divorce. And in light of this, one either goes to the Word of God for the answer to these problems or to the presumed alternative, the psychologist, the psychiatrist, or the psychotherapist. Many of our secular schools now employ the use of a psychologist to examine preschool children for evaluation. Some time ago, I was called by parents whose preschool daughter had been diagnosed with ADD. Of course, you know what that is. That's attention deficit disorder. They were quite upset as their daughter did not appear to exhibit behaviors foreign to any other four-year-old. There was no problem with their daughter in her Sunday school class. Her teacher had often remarked how alert and intelligent this little girl was. As their pastor, I observed their daughter and am amazed at her comprehension and understanding of things for a four-year-old. The parents advised the school they did not want their daughter subjected to any more psychologists, and if there was a problem, they should be contacted and they would handle the situation. After all, they were the parents, not the school. The psychologist failed to recognize the child needed to use the restroom and did not respond to his expectations. Therefore, a verdict of ADD was rendered against the child. I think a person needs to remember this brief observation and evaluation of the school psychologist is now a permanent record in this child's file for the rest of her life. God's Word has now been replaced in our schools with man's word, the psychologist. In Time magazine, in July the 18th, 1994 edition, it is rightly brought out to our attention, and I quote, "Many, if not all adults, have trouble at times sticking with boring tasks, setting priorities, and keeping their minds on what they are doing. The furious pace of society, the strain on families, the lack of community support can make anyone feel beset by ADD. I personally think that we're living in a society that is out of control, that we say, give me a stimulant so I can cope," says Charlotte Tomino, a clinical neuropsychologist in White Plains, New York. As word of ADHD spreads, swarms of adults are seeking the diagnosis as an explanation for their troubles. Then I quote, "So many really have symptoms that begin in adulthood and reflected depression and other problems," says psychiatrist Silver. In their best-selling new book, Driven to Distraction, Edward Hallwell and John Ratty suggest American life is ADD-genic. American society tends to create ADD-like symptoms in all of us. The fast pace, the sound bite, the quick cuts, the TV remote control clicker. It is important, I believe, to keep this in mind, or you may start thinking that everybody you know has ADD. Is it not the desire of all to have a happy life filled with friends, peace of mind, a happy home, and so forth? I believe so. I believe so, as this is also God's will, excuse me, for us, as revealed in John chapter 10, verse 10. The Lord tells us here, "I am come," that's Christ, "that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." More abundantly means enjoy living. I mean, have a good time. Have friends, have relatives, treat people right, treat them nice, and have friends. He wants you to have friends and live life abundantly. Our precious Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, promises peace for our troubled hearts And here are his words, as found in John chapter 14, in verse 26. He says this, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." Notice what it says, "Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." Other words, this peace that Christ gives is an everlasting peace. It's based upon the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, not upon the wisdom of men and their psychology, which only means this is what I think, this is what I have been taught, and so forth. "And let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." In John chapter 14, verse 27, "Many are troubled and want to get all they can out of this life. They indulge in sinful pleasures and practices because they have no hope of life after the grave or the judgment that is to come." We find out in Hebrews chapter 9 that it tells us here that it's appointed unto man to die, and then the judgment. Psychiatry does not like to recognize acts as sinful acts. They seek to relieve their clients by finding a reason why they do not have to be responsible for what they do. The man who beats up his wife says he can't control himself. The drunk who kills three people driving left to center hits a car head on. His attorney says he wouldn't have done it if he hadn't have been drunk. Well, let me ask you, shouldn't he be responsible for being drunk? Therefore, being responsible for killing three people? Now, let me give you something that is just passed on to everybody. You know, have a designated driver. I want to tell you something. I'm not going out with anybody that's going to drink and get drunk, and then I got to drive them home. I don't want those kind of friends, and I'm not going to do that. And this is brainwashing. Why in the world don't you want to go out with people who can control themselves, behave themselves, and don't act like idiots after they get drinking? And who knows what this drunk, after being a policeman for a number of years, I'll tell you what, a lot of these drunks think they can drive while they're drunk. And they've convinced themselves of that, and then they go out and kill somebody or get in a bad accident, hurt themselves, or whatever. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to be a designated driver for anybody. I'm not going out with people that are going out and sit there and drink. In fact, I'm not going out with anybody that drinks at all, let alone drive them home. That's irresponsibility. If you want to drink, get drunk, go ahead and drink at home. But you shouldn't be doing it out in public because, first of all, a lot of people and a lot of men and a lot of women can't control their big flappy mouth when they get drinking. They can't. They say things they shouldn't say. They advance themselves in places they shouldn't advance themselves. They cause a lot of trouble, and I don't want any part of that whatsoever. So don't ever look for me to be your driver to take you home because I'm not going to do it. And you should do your drinking at home. But there's always an excuse for it, see? A young couple take their newborn baby, put it into a garbage bag, and throw it into a dumpster to die. They're charged with second-degree murder, not first degree, even though it was premeditated. They didn't have any problem having sex, did they? But to avoid the responsibility of raising the child, well, just kill it. Just kill it. Is it any wonder people would rather see a psychiatrist who will find a reason that they are not responsible for their actions, rather than God, who holds us totally responsible? Every one of us shall give an account of ourselves to the Lord, the Bible says. God contradicts the psychiatrist and tells all mankind, "For we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God," in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. "And then the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord," in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Before anyone can have peace, he must be honest and truthful with himself and with God that they are a sinner. He must also believe God that the wages of sin is death, that is, physical death as well as spiritual death, that is, in hell, separated from God for all eternity. At this point, God offers a complete pardon to anyone who will accept by faith the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ as payment for their sin. Upon receiving Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, one can enjoy the peace for the rest of their life that the secular psychiatry profession knows absolutely nothing about. Now, I'm talking about most of them now because there are a few Christian psychologists. This peace, Christ said, I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. The world knows nothing of this. This person now has a peace within, being assured by God's word that they will not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life, as we're told in John chapter 5 and verse 24. Paul, in writing to the Romans, puts it this way, "Therefore, being justified," the word justified in the Greek means declared absolutely righteous, "by faith we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And that's found in, as we said here, in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. This peace is only available to those who assume full responsibility for the actions and decisions that they make. Secular psychiatry examines the motives and the reasons, seeking excuses for why a person acts the way they do. This ranges anywhere from being raised in a bad environment or to what is known as RMS, that is repressed memory syndrome. RMS many times ends up either by suggestion or hypnosis with the evaluation that the patient has been abused or sexually molested as a child, either by the parent or of relatives or near kin or so forth. The procedure may follow something of this order, and this is all set up by the psychologist. The patient is asked if they recall any abuse as a child, advising the psychiatrist that they do not. Now, he knows that they're going to advise us they do not. He knows that, but he also has a response to it. And he convinces, because this person has a full trust in this psychiatrist now, or psychologist, the psychiatrist states this is normal, as the mind blocks out those horrible experiences from the memory of the person to protect them from the hurt and the hateful feelings that they would continue to experience. Well, sir, there is your first big lie. Now, I want to tell you from first-hand experience, I had a dad who believed in correction. And he believed the Bible where it says, spare not the rod for the child's crying. And my father was a disciplinarian. I'll tell you one thing. If I had been analyzed today, it would be ADD, attention deficit disorder. But my dad kept that in check. We never knew back then there wasn't anything as ADD, and that all of this is new in psychiatry, and we got names for everything, and we got excuses for everything. But my dad took care of that because he applied the paddle. And we could put it A-P, a paddle. And it worked, and that took care of the ADD, and that would take care of most of it today. Not a pill, not Ritalin, but a paddle. And I knew that if I didn't get things in order, Dad would set them in order, of which he would. This is continually stressed, and ultimately the patient, whose full trust is in the counselor's professionalism, actually begins to believe what the psychiatrist has suggested. Now, he had just suggested to him that, you know, your mind blocks out those things that are going to hurt you in there. I can remember almost every paddling I got. And I mean from about 4 years old on up. I can't remember every one, but I tell you, I remember the major ones. I sure do. There's no repressed memory that your mind blocks those out at all whatsoever. And we're going to see that. So anyway, the patient, whose full trust, as we've said, is in the counselor's professionalism, actually begins to believe what the psychiatrist has suggested. Then, if the husband, wife, or relatives do not go along with the psychiatrist, they're labeled as being, well, you're in denial, or you're uncaring. So we have the psychiatrist really using psychiatry on everybody in order to procure what he wants to procure, and controls the whole situation with his psychology. Or worse, accused of being the perpetrators of those imaged abuses. The patient is now beginning to feel more comfortable with the psychiatrist as they are convinced they are not responsible for their anxiety and depression because it is caused by someone else. The patient now feels a little temporary relief at the cost of about $175 an hour. And that's why when the psychiatrist and you go to him, people I've talked that went to them, well, we always want someone to listen to us as we complain and we pour out our problems to them. Just listen. And that's why they listen, and it costs you $175, sometimes much more than that, in order just to tell somebody your problems and so forth. When probably your problem is just plain rebellion. Rebellion against God, rebellion against His Word, and not having your own way, and getting punished for things that you should be punished for? Who knows? The only problem with this psychology is that God says it is a lie. Instead of blaming someone else for your problems and depression, God says we're totally responsible to Him for our actions. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. So you're not going to have any psychologist there trying to excuse why you did and why you rebelled against God, why that you don't go to church, why that you tell a lie, why that you take a drug, why that you drink alcohol, all of these things that you do, and you're just having a hard time coping with them. Maybe if you clean your life up and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. But this is found in Romans chapter 14, verses 11 and 12, where every one of us shall give an account of himself to the Lord. An individual can possess no greater inner peace than being assured by God's word that their sins are forgiven and paid for by Jesus Christ on the cross. The realization that I'm now a child of God, in John chapter 1, verse 12, as many as received him, that's Christ, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, and that God is my heavenly Father. It comes from personally receiving Jesus Christ as my Savior. But as many as received him, as we said, to them gave he the power, that is the right, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The conflict rages between everlasting peace, which only God can give, and the false temporary peace offered through humanistic secular psychiatry and its philosophy. In USA Today, October the 8th, 1993, Michael Yapka, a San Diego psychologist and hypnotist, states concerning RMS, that is repressed memory syndrome, that many therapists don't know that memory is so responsive to suggestion. And that's exactly what some of these psychologists do. The Atlanta Journal and Constitution, December the 11th, 1994, states that Mark Pedegrast, author of Victims of Memory, states that, and here's his quote, he and thousands of parents like him are the real victims. His book reveals that his daughters and other incest survivors have fallen prey to what skeptics call false memory syndrome. The same paper states that therapists who believe memories can be lost and retrieved often say that if you think you were abused, you probably were. But Pedegrast, as well as a significant portion of mental health community, believes traumatic memories are never forgotten. I've got to agree with them 100%. What about you? If you're listening to this broadcast and you look back on your life, aren't the traumatic things, they never go away. He charges that these so-called memories that patients are digging up are, in fact, their imagination encouraged by therapists who believe incest is as common as chicken pox in the American family. So much for the psychiatrists, huh? Remember, the peace that God gives is for this life and extends through all eternity. It is actually a free gift. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, for by grace are we saved through faith, that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The peace that psychotherapy offers is a false and a temporary peace at the price of $150 to $225 an hour for that psychologist to feed you the lies and really screw your mind up. The middle verse of the Bible reflects God's advice to mankind. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men, in Psalms chapter 118, verse 8. And then we are told also in the Word of God, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. In Colossians chapter 2, in verse 8. Now, I look back in my files and under psychiatry and so forth, and I found an article that was printed in the Star Tribune, Minneapolis, Minnesota, on March the 18th in 2001. And this was a trial, and it's a real tragic, tragic case. But anyway, I'll read you part of it here. This was just a heartbreaking case. Bill Smoller, a Madison, Wisconsin attorney who represented the family in Eau Claire County Circuit Court, said Saturday. Smoller has tried other cases involving false memory syndrome, including a 1997 case that ended up with a $2.4 million settlement, and it was featured on 60 Minutes. The syndrome is defined as a psychological condition in which a person believes he or she remembers events that have not occurred. People who dispute the reality of such a syndrome argue that the term can be used to hide past abuse and have a chilling effect on therapists. Smoller said that the medical research cited during the trial of the Sawyers lawsuit demonstrated that the phenomena is real, that were the prosecutors and so forth, or defendants, I guess. And this is brainwashing by unscrupulous therapists, he said. This stuff is bad stuff. And then he goes on, it's very interesting here, he goes on, the name of the girl, I'll just read you in part. In this case, we have a daughter you love who suddenly is accusing you of the worst thing imaginable. By the time she died, she had accused her father, her brother's friend, her mother, her grandfather, an uncle, an aunt, two cousins, and three pastors. Everybody was accused as molesting her. Nancy Anitra, then, who was Nancy Sawyer, received counseling in 1984 from Lostedt and a psychiatrist not named in the suit. After a year of treatment, she accused her parents of physically and sexually abusing her as a child. The Sawyers denied the abuse, but their daughter severed all ties with them and changed her name. She continued to receive counseling and in 1987 began being treated by Middlefort. 1 year later, she sued her parents for civil damages for the claimed abuse. The suit was dismissed. Anitra, this is the girl here who had to sue her parents, continued in therapy until she died of cancer in 1995. Her parents learned of her death through a note left in a mailbox. They filed their lawsuit in 1996. It was dismissed, but they appealed the case, eventually went on to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, which said the parents had a right to seek damages for pain caused by their daughter's accusations. In its decision Friday, a jury found Anitra's claims of childhood sexual abuse were grounded in inaccurate memories implanted by the attorney and reinforced by the other attorney. The jury held that the one attorney was 80% responsible and the other attorney 20%. Then, of course, they couldn't be reached. But let me give you the outcome of this. Nancy Anitra died more than 6 years ago, but that was from when it was printed here, and had been insisting she had been sexually and physically abused by her parents and so forth. On Friday, a jury of Eau Claire, Wisconsin, held that Anitra had been abused not by family members, but by two therapists, including one from Medina, who had planted false memories in the mind of the former schoolteacher. The Sawyer cited as the verdict was read, or cried as the verdict was read, ordering that the therapist, and names him and so forth, were to pay the Sawyers and their daughter an estimate of $5.8 million. The award came after 10 hours of deliberation at the close of a three-week trial. This is what your psychiatrist can do to you. Instead of playing around with people who are playing around with your mind, wouldn't it be better to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ? You let people implant things into your mind, and pretty soon you start to believe them. But you'll notice again in John 14:27, may I repeat the verse, Christ said himself, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. If you desire, and let me give this to you, it'd be a good book for you to get. If you're listening to this broadcast here, you'll really enjoy it. It gives you many, many illustrations of how these psychiatrists have screwed up people, and I'm using that word loosely, and have really fouled up their minds. If you desire a comprehensive study of the deception of psychiatry, let me suggest that you obtain the book, and it's entitled Only God Can Heal the Wounded Heart by Dr. Ed Buckley, Buckley. You can find it in your local Christian bookstore. The Bible and the Lord Jesus Christ, who created life, has the answers to life. A lot of depression comes by rebelling against God, and you have a guilty conscience. And why things don't go right? Because God chastens his children. If you're a Christian, then you're going to find out that God will chasten you. Whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth every son whom he receiveth. To have a good sound mind and mental health is to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you have the peace of God. You most assuredly do. In fact, he brings this out. There is two pieces that you can have, and that is found and is also labeled as rest. In Matthew chapter 11, and verse 28 and 29, the Word of God says this. The verse 28 is salvation, and verse 29 is service. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Christ will do it. How will he give you rest and peace? By assuring you that he died on the cross to pay for your sins. And if you'll put your trust in him and him alone for your salvation, then God says you can have that rest and you can have that peace. And there's nothing like it in the world, because the creator of the world sent his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him would never perish but have everlasting life. And then in the trials of life that we all face, in verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. When we take what the Word of God says and don't rebel against it, you'll find out that you'll have a rest and a peace there. And we find out also Philippians says the same thing. And it tells us over there in chapter 4. It says, first of all, in verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. If you're not rebelling against God, you don't need a nervous breakdown. You don't need an antidepressant pill. Because the more of those you take, the more dependent you are upon them. Pretty soon you'll be on for the rest of your life, and your body craves them and thinks that's the normal way to act because you've injected these pills in there, because probably mainly you just plain won't face reality. You won't face what God says to do, to have life. It's his will that you have life and have it abundantly. But I see our time's gone. Enough of that. Let me get back to the very basic where it all starts. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I know if I were to die, I'm absent from the body, present with the Lord. Yes, I'll see my mother, I'll see my father, I'll see many, many of my friends, see hundreds of people we've led to the Lord Jesus Christ. What a thrill it'll be. I'll see the pastor that led me to Christ. What a thrill it'll be. And you have that peace, and you know that when death comes. And you can know that also. That's a wonderful peace. And then to know that you can obey the Word of God and have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. You don't need a nerve pill. You don't need a antidepressant pill. You need obedience to the Word of God, and God will give you that peace. Well, I see our time's gone. We'll invite you to write to us if you would like to do that. We'd sure love to hear from you. Our radio our address is the Heritage Radio Bible Class, Post Office Box 573, Walnut Grove, Minnesota, and our zip code is 56180. We'd like to invite you to our church service Sunday morning from 10 to 11, Sunday evening from 6 to 7, and our wonderful youth group every Thursday from 7 to 8:30 or 9, and we hope that you'll consider that. Love to have you come. Well, keep looking up, because the first promise when Jesus left this earth back to the earth was, I will come again in like manner as you have seen me go. So we're ever praying, even so come, Lord Jesus.